So there's so much to be thankful for. And we are so thankful that we have Bill Brooks in the house as a regular, and Robert. He made me cry, although I've been feeling a little more cryful this week because I am going to Beaumont. For those that may or may not know, my wife passed on December 30th, and I get to go to Beaumont, California for her celebration of life service and scattering of ashes. So I have been having a week as I am preparing for that. And so I'm easily more susceptible to allowing myself to be in the flow. So here we are. And this is what community does. We be with each other. So the words to that song, there's so much to be thankful for. How many of you agree with that? Oh, wow, everybody, amazing. How about the line, we pray for what we know can be. Do you agree that you perhaps are praying for what we know can be? And how many of you agree that we hope for that which we still can't see? Hello, we got a lot of hands up. This is your exercise for the day, doing your... And last but... And how about, do you agree with it's up to us to be the change? Wow. Okay. Looks pretty unanimous. And basically, that's the talk in a nutshell. So you can go have some food now. So how many can guess what today's talk might be about?
Prayer.
Prayer. Oh, how would you know such a thing? Prayer. Today's talk title is Dare to Declare. And I'm going to begin with a little story about Father O'Flanagan. Father O'Flanagan dies at a ripe old age of 94. And upon entering St. Peter's Gate, there was another man in front of him waiting to get into heaven. St. Peter asked the man in front of Father O'Flanagan, what is your name and what did you accomplish in life? And the man responds, my name is Joey Pistello, and I was a New York taxi driver for 14 years. Very well, said St. Peter. Here's your silk robe and your golden scepter. Now you may walk the streets of heaven. So St. Peter looks at Father Flanagan and said, what is your name and what did you accomplish? Father Flanagan responds, I'm Father O'Flanagan, and I have devoted the last 62 years of loving service in the church. Very well, said St. Peter, and he hands him a cotton robe and a wooden staff. You may now enter. And Father Flanagan goes, well, wait a minute. You gave that taxi driver a golden scepter and a silk robe. How come I'm only getting a cotton robe and a wooden staff? And St. Peter said, well, when you preached, everyone slept. When Joey drove, everyone prayed. You got to do what you got to do, right? All right. So what is the first prayer that you remember as a child? Was it maybe, now I lay me? Okay, let's say that together. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. What kind of world do we live in that is going to teach a young child such a fearful prayer? But it is true. We all knew it, and we all got taught it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray that if I die... I'm like, really? What is that about? I just do not understand whatsoever why going to sleep you have a fearful prayer for this little kid. So we're going to talk about prayer. Definitions of prayer. Definitions are the standard. Number one, a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. Another one is the act of speaking to God in order to ask for something, or again, to give thanks. The etymology of pray is to ask earnestly, to beg someone, also in a religious sense, to a god or a saint. So that is the standard definition of prayer. But we're going to go to Charles Fillmore, who is the co-founder of Unity. If you don't have this book, it's called The Revealing Word. It is a dictionary of all the metaphysical words. And I'll tell you what, if you're studying metaphysics and you go, I wonder what they define prayer as or any other word, you can find it in here. So we have some. You can get them online, and I know that we have some in the bookstore. But I find it helpful to look at these and go, wow, he said that, because I don't know everything that Charles said. Prayer, definition, communion between God and man and women. I'm going to throw that in. Prayer is the most highly accelerated mind action known. It steps up mental action until man's consciousness synchronizes with the Christ mind. It is the language of spirituality. When developed, it makes man master the realm of creative ideas. Goes on to say, prayer is more than supplication. It is an affirmation of truth that eternally exists, but which has not yet come into consciousness. It comes into consciousness not by supplication, but by affirmation. It says, do not beg. Do not supplicate to or beg God to give you what you need, but get still and think about the inexhaustible resources of the infinite mind in presence of all its fullness and its constant readiness to manifest itself for you when its laws are complied with. This is what Jesus meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So basically, he's going, remember that it's the divine in expression, and what part of the divine would I like to have more of? Would I like to enjoy more love, more prosperity, more greater health, clarity? Those are all aspects of the divine. And when I realize, and I'll be talking about this more, that it's not outside of me, but it's inside of me, and I want to engage and be those things that I want to have. It's not about having. It's about being the change, being the thing that you want to have. Once you're being it, you don't need to have it anymore, do you? Right? Hello? Yes? Okay. Come on. No sleeping on this preacher's shift, because I want to get that silk robe, right? He says, it is necessary to pray believing that we have already received, because God is all that we desire. God is all that you desire. Everything that you think you want is an aspect of the divine. So when you want to have more of anything, what aspect of the divine are you calling forth for yourself and recognizing as yourself? He says, the good always exists in divine mind as ideas, and we bring into manifestation through the prayer of faith, affirmation, praise, and acknowledgement. We have thought that prayer was something we could go to in any way at any time, but we have learned that to get results, that we have to pray with persistence and understanding with faith. The practice establishes consciousness where doubt cannot enter. It says somewhere in the Bible about pray ceasingly, don't discontinually, constantly pray. Well, me, what prayer means is that I'm constantly aware the divine is present everywhere, all the time, no matter what I'm going through. It's not to look away, but to know that spirit is in the middle of everything, and I am that, and it's not outside, it's right here. As I recognize myself as that which I would love to have in whatever condition or circumstance I'm in, I get to be that, and it manifests because everything is consciousness. Consciousness is awareness, and it's the consciousness of what I believe, not what I think. So, the question is, how often are you praying? Is it just one time a day, or are you in a continual, God is here, God is there, God is everywhere? You can call it what you want, spirit, divine, you can call it love, because whatever word works for you, the divine doesn't matter what you call it. It just says, just call it. Just remember that it's there. So when I grew up, by the way, part of the reason I'm doing this talk today is because we do have a prayer chaplain, prayer practitioner training coming up. And you heard about that in the announcements, and that's on Saturday, May 6th and Sunday, May 7th. It's not something that you're committing to, but you can learn more about the unity form of prayer. Now, when I grew up, the only prayer I knew was, now may I lay me down to sleep. I did not say that prayer because it was a weird prayer. And I didn't have any religion or prayer. It wasn't until about 28 years ago, I stepped into what was known then as the Huntington Beach Church of Religious Science, now Centers for Spiritual Living, another New Thought organization, which is basically the cousin of Unity. They teach the same principles. And I went in to the foundational class, and they said, your thoughts are things. Whatever you're thinking, you're manifesting. And I was like, oh, I am in trouble. my thoughts manifest things? I was in trouble because, hey, I had non-loving thoughts. Imagine that note. Fearful thoughts, fear, lack and limitation thoughts. I had thoughts that weren't necessarily God thoughts or positive thoughts. So I became vigilant about, oh, my thinking, and going, oh, that's probably, and I actually was a bit fearful about my thinking because I was noticing how much negative vibe or whatever it was that I was thinking, and I wanted to change it. So as I continued to study, I learned that it's not my thought that creates the thing, but more the tendency. How much do I think about that in a negative way? Or how much do I think about lack or limitation? So what I'm focusing on, I'm getting more of. Now, here's the thing. Jesus, the great way shower, the greatest metaphysician there ever was, came here to teach us universal principles and laws. I mean, what did he say? He said, it is done unto you as you believe. Thank God he didn't say, it's done unto you as you think, because we'd be all in trouble. Because if you were manifesting everything you think, right? That is, so I'm very grateful that we don't have things appearing. So what's the difference between a thought and a belief? Well, a thought, you can have 1,000 thoughts running through your mind. But there's no power until you believe them to be true and have some emotional, yeah, that's true. The definition of a belief is a thought you hold to be true. And guess what? Some of your thoughts may not be true, right? See, we get trained and conditioned as children, and we start to believe things that we're told, and they may not even be true. But we don't really have a filter to say, I can't choose to believe that. Now, as adults, I can start questioning my beliefs. We also have, in the realm of consciousness, two areas. Conscious beliefs, those that I'm aware of, but underneath the surface of the iceberg of our lives, in the consciousness, we have the subconscious. And the subconscious is actually the more powerful of the two. You can think, how many of you know affirmations and have done them? Most everybody. An affirmation is a positive statement that you're affirming to be true. Have you ever done an affirmation and it doesn't work? Right? Okay, some of you, right? I used to say, I have love in my life, I have my perfect partner, I have my perfect love, I have all the love, I have my loving partner, and yet it wasn't manifesting. I also said, I am financially free, I'm prosperous in everything I do, and I kept repeating these over and over. And nothing was really happening until I started to do digging into the subconscious and found things like, I had a belief that love hurts. So I've got a part of me that goes, I have my love. I have love in my life. I have a fulfilling, joyful, loving, harmonious relationship. And underneath I'm going, love hurts. We're not going there. Same with the prosperity. I am prosperous. I am financially free. I have more than enough. And I had a subconscious belief, and I'm not going to get into the stories of these, but I had a belief that money causes misery. I have all the money. No, you don't, because I don't want to be miserable. And if money causes misery, I'm not going there. I couldn't manifest financial abundance or love with those hidden beliefs. This is what I do in spiritual counseling. I assist people in finding out what is really going on underneath the surface that is your block. And we want to unlock the block so that it dissolves and then you can be that which you're affirming to be. So prayer, as I said before, makes us aware of what's already there when we declare. Jesus, the great way shower, says, ask and you shall receive. Or he also says, ask and whatever you ask, his quote is, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it. Believe that you've already received it, and it will be yours. It's not maybe. He doesn't say, well, maybe it'll be yours, possibly, could be yours. But though that is one of the most powerful statements when you unpack it. And the word ask actually means in aromatic, whatever you want to call it, in the language of. The word ask means to claim, to declare. Jesus never asked for anything. He basically gave thanks. How did he feed those 5,000 people with two fishes and five loaves of bread? He just went, okay, I'm giving thanks. We're feeding everybody. I don't know how that is, but we are. He also did something before he was engaged in those crowds. He went away. He went away into the desert where there wasn't anything that was going to catch his attention and distract us from our prayer. It's about being still and remembering. So when he came back into the masses and all of that, the thoughts that would come, he was centered. And he would always go back. He gave thanks. And then he said, Lazarus, rise from the dead. He didn't ask for anything. He just declared it because he knew who he was. And that's where we're going in this talk about prayer. Is because your approach to prayer is dependent upon what you believe God is. And what your relationship to God is. How to Pray Without Talking to God. Another book that I highly recommend that everyone have. And it's How to Pray Without Talking to God. And it's by Reverend Linda Martella with Set. She says, our words and our methods of prayer derive from our sense of identity. When we view ourselves as just human, we pray to God from a place, a consciousness of powerless, like, dear God, please help me with this. Now, I want to just make a caveat here, is that all prayer works. But Unity has studied, and so has Science of Mind, how Jesus did prayer, how he spoke. They believed the greatest metaphysician was manifesting things, so it might be wise to study his method. And that is why they have these forms of prayer. So even if I say, help God, as if God is outside of myself, it still takes effect, but I want to pray as the great way shower did. It says, when we realize our divine identity, we pray from
divine consciousness. We're not praying to something. We're praying from my identity. If I'm the divine, and that is what the affirmative prayer is about. It's not about asking or begging. It's about realizing, hey, God is love. And because principle number two is everything that God is, all the traits of the divine, I also am. Now, when I'm struggling and not getting it, that's when I go to a prayer chaplain, because they are going to know something because I'm in the middle of a situation. I can't know the forest because I'm in the middle of the tree, right? It's in my. So that's why I go to Rob for prayer, or Alex, or any of our prayer chaplains, and that's what they'll be trained to do, to be able to go to and go, okay, I'm going to know the truth of you, Victoria. You're a divine being, and that which you seek is inside of you. It's already there. Your wholeness, your abundance, who and what you are is that. And when you accept that in its fullness, everything unlike it will dissolve. That is the teaching. She goes on to say, what you know yourself to be in any moment determines your approach to prayer. Now, like I said, you can pray to God or you can pray from the God self that you already are. You can claim that abundance and truth of and for and as your being. So the other book that, I keep bringing this one up, I wonder why. It's the Five Unity Principles. Ellen Debenport talks about prayer because that is principle number four. However, you can't really do principle number four unless you understand one, two, and three. Principle one is the divine is everywhere present, all that there is. Okay? And therefore, principle number two, I am the divine in expression, and so is everybody else. We just forget that that's the truth of who we are, and we're here to remember that I'm the divine, and so are you. And when we remember that, we also realize principle number three is that our thoughts are creative, our beliefs. And whatever I'm thinking about and creating a belief of, I'm going to manifest. So if I understand those three to be true, and read this and go, if this was true, then what? Then you go to four. And four is about prayer makes you aware of what's already there. Say that with me. Prayer makes you aware of what's already there. Ellen Debenport says, prayer is where spirit meets language. Of course, the universe does not need our words. It responds to the energetic vibration. Words resonate within us as we say them for our own sakes. They clarify our thoughts and our intentions. They are the voice by which we call forth what we want from the field of possibilities, as we recognize we are that which we desire. When we speak consciously, we release our words as if shooting an arrow towards a target, and we refrain from saying anything we don't want in your lives. And it goes on to talk about what I've already talked about is prayer is the time we take to focus and align ourselves in oneness with the divine and affirm that whatever we need is already there. This is affirmative prayer. This is how unity prays. We know the truth of and for you. So unity has a five steps, which you can do, and I'm going to give them really briefly to you. The five steps are first to relax. Okay? So you relax and you take a breath and you empty out whatever is occupying your mind. Then, as you are relaxing, then you begin to concentrate. And what you concentrate on is what aspect of the divine you want to experience more in your life, as you. So you concentrate. God is love. Love is everywhere. It's breathing me. It's all love. So you concentrate and then you get into that idea. Then you meditate. They call it meditation. And that's when you become still and you basically just accept that what you're thinking of is so true that you move into step four and you realize that what you desire is already there. And the last one is that you have appreciation. And you don't say, thank you, God, although it's not bad to say, thank you, God, but it's talking like God is outside of us. You always hear me say at the end of our service, I'm so happy and grateful. It's part of what I've been trained to say in, I'm so happy and grateful, knowing the truth, that the divine is within me, and I am abundance and prosperous because it's my true identity. I have love. I am healthy and whole because it's the truth of me. And it's about keeping persistence and keeping that consciousness going. Myrtle Fillmore had a healing in her life. It took 2 years before she was fully healed, but she didn't give up. She kept on persistently talking to her body, recognized that every organ in her body was the divine in expression. Now, because I'm the queen of acronyms, I'm going to give you a different form. And it's PRAY, P-R-A-Y. And it's going to take those five and make it into P-R-A-Y. So the P stands for prepare. You prepare for prayer. How do you prepare? I just said, well, you close your eyes and you take some breaths and you clear. So you're clearing as you prepare. And so let us do that now. So we're preparing ourselves by breathing and opening. And as we have prepared, we now move to the R of prayer, of pray. And as we have opened and breathed and relaxed, we now are recognize everything as the divine in expression. The R is we're recognizing the truth of ourselves. And whatever our greatest desire is, it's living in us. We recognize. And as we each recognize something for ourselves as the divine, we now move to the A. We affirm it. We acclaim it. The A is the affirming that what I am calling forth is already there. And the other part of the A is we accept it, to feel as if it's already done. It's already there. Because we have affirmed, which is to declare, and now we accept, because it is there. And as we accept, we now move to the why, which is Reverend Liz's expression of gratitude. It's yes and yippee-doo, yippee-done. And so we give thanks with our yes and yippee-doo, and it's yippee-done.